Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we finished our series on the Constitution and our church covenant. And so if you missed it, you can go back, get on the website, parksandbaptist.com, and go back through and remember all those things that we talked about that each one of us as members have committed to doing. And today we have the start of a new member class where we're going to be going through some of those things again, but some people are going to be taking on that covenant for the first time. If you're an old member, as was mentioned earlier, and you've never been through a membership class, and you say, hey, I'm interested in, you know, finding out what weird initiation things that we do for the new members, you're willing to stay. We did not do anything to the chili, just so you know, the chili is safe. But everybody from young to old is welcome to stay. If everybody stays, we might need to get a little more chili, but anybody is welcome to stay for the new member class. Basically, we talk about why membership is important. We talk about what our church constitution says, and we also talk about the gospel and what each one of us is gifted in doing. But this morning, I really want to shift away from our Constitution to really the fundamental aspects of our faith and talk about what is biblical repentance. What does it mean to repent? At different times, each one of us have, in our life, come to the knowledge and understanding that we have sinned against God, that we are sinners, and that God is our creator, and that he has a standard by which that we have not met, right? Because of our behavior, because of our thoughts and our desires, we have been led away from what we know is right to do that which we know is wrong. And so then the question is, how do we get back on the right track? Sometimes that knowing where we are and knowing where we want to be is the easy part, right? The hard part is, how do I get from here to there? Sometimes it's just seeing that, hey, I'm not where I want to be. Sometimes that's a difficult thing to do too, but what does that confession process look like? And so that's what we're gonna talk about repentance this morning. So the first thing in the steps of repentance is that we need to confess our sin. We need to confess our sin before God. And we're going to kind of break that down into a few different steps. The first thing that we have to do is acknowledge our sin in a spirit of remorse. And as we look at biblical repentance this morning, we're going to be going through Psalms chapter 51, which is the psalm that David wrote in his repentance for his sins with Bathsheba and killing her husband and all of those sorts of things. And so this is a psalm of repentance, and that's what we're going to be looking through. So verse 1 through 3 says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me." The first thing we need to do is to acknowledge our sin in a spirit of remorse. Now, if you're a parent out there, you might have had this little situation where one child does something to the other child. Let's say they hit the other child, right? And that child comes running to mom and dad and they say, "Hey, he hit me." And looks at you, what are you going to do about it, right? And so then we say, "Hey, what happened? Did you hit them?" And whatever, you figure out what happened. And then there comes a point where there needs to be an apology, right? And what does the child say? "I'm sorry," right? And I'm sure every parent has said this. Say it like you mean it, right? Say it like you mean it. We have to acknowledge our sin in a spirit of remorse. Not just saying it like we mean it, but actually meaning it. We need to come to God and recognize what we've done. When I share the gospel with people, when I talk about confession, I talk about taking responsibility. Because that's what it is, right? We have to recognize that it is I who have sinned against God. It wasn't my parents' fault, right? It wasn't my brother's or sister's fault. They're not the ones that forced me to hit them, right? I was the one who did it. I am responsible. We have to acknowledge our sin. Now, does that mean we take responsibility for others' sin? No. Their sin is their problem between them and God. But my sin is my problem. And so I have to acknowledge it with a spirit of remorse. Part of confession is agreeing with God that what we did was wrong. And so we say, I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is always before me. The next step is acknowledge our transgressions against our Maker with a sense of brokenness. Psalm 51:4, David continues, against you and you only have I sinned and have done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. What an amazing thought here. A lot of times we think, oh, I just sinned against so-and-so, right? And maybe they don't even know about it, so it doesn't really matter, right? We think that way. We think that our actions are, no big deal. But the reality is, we are a created being. We are created by a Creator for a purpose. And when we go against that purpose, when we break God's law or His direction or His commands, right, we are broken. Right? Just think if at home you had bought something and maybe it's a shelf or a toy or whatever, and you buy it for a purpose, right? Maybe it's for enjoyment, maybe it's for, you know, whatever, storage, whatever. And then something happens and it's no longer able to serve that purpose anymore, right? The tabs got broken, whatever. And what do we do with that then? We set it out Monday morning and it goes away, right? We throw it in the garbage. Why? Because it's not serving that purpose anymore. We don't need it in our life if it's not going to fulfill the purpose that we got it for. And so when we sin, we need to recognize it is against God, our Creator, our Maker. We sinned against Him. And so when David says, against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, it was not saying that he didn't sin against Bathsheba or against her husband, right? It wasn't saying that he didn't drag the whole nation through this despicable behavior, because he did. But he's recognizing that the only one that ultimately matters is our Creator. The one we're going to stand in judgment before on Judgment Day is our Creator. It's against Him. It's against His authority. It's against His law that we have sinned. And so he says, against you and you only have I sinned. And we need to have that same acknowledgement. Acknowledge our transgression against our Maker with a sense of brokenness, realizing that what we've done is not what we were designed to do. Third is acknowledge God's standard of holiness and our natural desire to sin. Psalms 51:5 and 6 says, Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Here David is recognizing that from infancy, right? From the time that he was created, his desire was to do that which is wrong. Each one of us have a natural desire, because we are born in this flesh that is cursed by sin, to do that which we know is wrong. I've given this example before, but working with the youth on on Wednesday nights with True Trackers. You know, and I actually just did this, I think, either Wednesday or the week before, but you ask them, how many of you think it's a good idea to obey your parents? Guess how many of them raise their hand? Every single one of them, right? And half of them are raising their hands now. It's a good idea. We should obey our parents. We know that, right? And we probably didn't even need to come to church to figure that out. We just intrinsically know we ought to obey our parents. God put that on our heart, right? But then I ask those same kids, how many of you in the last year have disobeyed your parents? Right? Every single one of them raised their hand again. Why is that? Why is it when we know the right thing to do, we struggle to do it? It's because in our flesh is this desire to do something else. It's to go against God's word. It's to go against what we know we ought to. And that's what we call a sin nature or a corrupted nature. We need to acknowledge that God has a standard of holiness, and our desire, our natural desire, is often to go against it, to pursue our own way, which often leads to destruction. Destruction of our inner peace, destruction of relationships, opportunities, all kinds of destruction. A lot of times we think, you know, yeah, God is holy, but as long as the good outweighs the bad, right? As long as I'm doing some good stuff, yeah, I'm going to do some bad stuff over here, but that doesn't really matter as long as the good outweighs the bad. Boy, are you going to be awakened when you stand on Judgment Day and recognize that is not the standard of holiness that God is going to judge you against. Acts 17 says that He is going to judge you by a standard which is His Son, Jesus Christ. And guess what? It's not going to be good. It's not going to be good for you because it's perfection. Jesus was perfect in every way. And there's no way that we're going to be able to meet that standard of holiness. So we need to acknowledge before God that He has a standard of holiness and that we have broken it. We have not met His perfect will. So what do? We recognize our standing before God. It's one of deserving shame. It's one of brokenness. It's one of asking God for help. Because we've taken responsibility for our sin and we've recognized there's no way that we can make this right. Right? There's no way we can pay God back. So what do? The second step of repentance is seeking God's restoration. Seeking God's restoration. We ask Him to remove our sin and plea for forgiveness and cleansing. Remove my sin and please forgive me and cleanse me. Verses 7 through 9 says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all of my iniquities." What is David thinking about as he writes this? "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean." Well, there's a few different passages in the Old Testament that talk about purging with hyssop. I'm going to read one of them to you. It's Numbers 19, 13 through 19. And I want you to think about that passage that we just read. And I want you to see, is this what David had in mind while he was writing out this prayer of forgiveness, this request? This is the law, Numbers 19, 13 through 19. It says, "Whoever touches the body of anyone who has died and does not purify himself defiles the tabernacle of the Lord. That person shall be cut off from Israel. he shall be unclean because the water of purification was not sprinkled on him. His uncleanness is still on him. This is the law when a man dies in a tent. All who come into the tent and all who are in the tent shall be unclean 7 days. And every open vessel which has no cover fastened on it is unclean. Whoever in the open field touches one who is slain by a sword or who has died or a bone of man or a grave shall be unclean for 7 days. So these are laws on the purification of different things, whether it be the body, whether it be utensils, whether it be a house. In these situations, a person is unclean. It says, for an unclean person, they shall take some of the ashes of the heifer burnt for purification from sin. Running water shall be put on them in a vessel, and a clean person shall take hyssop and dip it into the water and sprinkle it on the tent, on the vessels, on the persons who were there, or on the one who touched a bone, the slain, the dead, or a grave. The clean person shall sprinkle the unclean on the third day and on the seventh day, and on the seventh day he shall purify himself, wash his clothes, and bathe in water, and at evening he shall be clean. Now I want to go back and read this. Purge me with hyssop. Right? He's saying, God, you are the clean one. I am the unclean one. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice, and hide your face from my sins, and blot out all of my iniquities. When we pray that prayer, when we ask God for forgiveness of our sins, and we recognize our brokenness, our uncleanness before Him, what is His answer? What is His response? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, if we come to Him in a spirit of, what was that? A spirit of, what does it say? A spirit of remorse. Thank you very much. We come to Him a spirit of remorse. We come to Him acknowledging our brokenness before Him. And we ask for His forgiveness. We have a promise from God's Word. His answer is yes, I will forgive you. That's His desire. The question is not will He forgive us. The question is will we acknowledge our sin before Him in a spirit of remorse? Will we recognize that we have sinned against our Maker? And will we recognize our brokenness? The third step, so we seeking God's restoration. The second step of seeking God's restoration is asking for a new heart. Psalms 51, 10 and 11 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. David is recognizing at the same time there is a consequence for sin, right? We know that God is just. We know that God's justice is something that He's very passionate about. We also see that God is merciful. And so David is asking for God to do a work in his heart. He's saying, God, please come in my life and change me. I recognize there's areas in my life that is not being faithful to you, and I want to be faithful to you. I want to have communion with you. I want our relationship to be restored. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. We need to ask God for a new heart. See, bring back the joy of living in your presence and doing your will. He continues, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. And then I will teach your transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Saying, I remember when things were going well between us, right? I remember the joy of living for you. I remember the joy of salvation. Restore me to that. Restore my spirit. And then he says, I want to get back to serving you. I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Part of repentance is saying, God, I want to do your will. I'm not going to continue in sin any longer. I want to be restored to fellowship, to right standing, to serving the purpose that you created me for, to teaching others about your love. Number three, worshiping God for his grace and mercy. So the first step is confess our sins. Two, seek God's restoration. And three, worship God for his grace and his mercy. Praising God for his salvation. David continues, deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. Open my mouth, and my... O Lord, let me try this again. Open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. We need to praise God for his love, for his mercy. We acknowledge our sin before him. We ask for forgiveness. We receive the promise of forgiveness, and now we are praising God because he is faithful to forgive. And he is worthy of our praise. We praise him for his salvation. We praise him for his forgiveness. Go to the next one. There we go. We praise him for his mercy. Verse 16 and 17 says, for you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings, or the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. David is recognizing God's mercy. It's not enough just to go out and maybe throw a few penance in the offering plate and say, oh, that's good enough for God. No, David recognizes that God wants us to repent of our sins. He wants us to experience that recognition of the brokenness of our relationship with God and of our going against his will for our life. But also, David recognizes that God is merciful. Right? God does not despise us because we've done wrong one time. He is forgiving. He is a merciful God. And then the third thing that David did was ask for future blessing and promised future worship. He closes out Psalms 51 by saying, do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. And then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. And then they shall offer bulls on your altar. David is saying, God, please restore your blessings to us. And we will continue to worship you as our God. We ought to do the same. We ought to follow that pattern. When we recognize that we went against God's will, we ought to come to him and confess our sin. We ought to ask for restoration, seek his work in our life, and then praise him for his goodness and for his mercy. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, we recognize that oftentimes we are unfaithful. Lord, we are, like the Israelites, a stiff-necked people, often doing what we know we shouldn't, but it's what we want to do at the time. Lord, we often fail to recognize the cost of our sin, the great cost which you paid on the cross, we often take for granted. But Lord, I thank you that you've shown us a way, Lord, that we can obtain forgiveness, Lord, that we can repent, we can come to you and have our spirit renewed. Lord, we don't have to live life broken. We don't have to live life in grief and shame and, Lord, just wondering why, about the futility of all things. But Lord, you can renew us. I think the Psalms 27, where David says, I would have lost heart if I did not believe that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Your desire is not just to restore us for a future life, but it's to restore us to do good in this life and for a future life. Lord, as I think about my grandpa, as he prepares to pass into glory, what a wonderful day that will be. Whether it's today or tomorrow or next week, Lord, I am looking forward to that for him. But Lord, for us, we still have things to do here. We still have work to do. We still have areas of our life we need to repent, to make right, to serve you, to allow you to work in our hearts, to bring us into full maturity in Christ. We have also people that we need to reach out to teach other sinners your ways, and to be a testimony of faithfulness to you. Lord, we have a lot of things, a lot of plans in our mind and our hearts. Lord, we know from Proverbs 19, it is your counsel that's going to stand in the end. When we look back at our life, when we're lying in bed, waiting to meet our Maker, we're not going to wish that we had fulfilled up our schedule even more with various tasks. Lord, we're going to wonder why we didn't take more time to worship you. Why we didn't take more time to lead other people to the knowledge of your goodness. So Lord, I pray that we would correct that mistake before we make it. Let us not wait until our dying days to be able to wish to do it over again. But let us now, even now, let us worship you. Let us ask for your work in our own hearts to create a clean heart within us that we can worship you, that we can do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.